Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT. How are you today, Tasila?
Oh, I'm doing really good. What about yourself? I want to say hi to all our...
No, I'm just... I'm doing fine. Go ahead.
I was just saying hi to everybody else also, to all our friends and family all over the world. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in tonight on the program.
Yes.
We are excited.
Yes,
excited,
we are very excited.
A
lot of things, and especially our guests for tonight. You guys are going to get really be blessed tonight. It's a very anointed person. But before we get into that, you know what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to pick up your phones and grab your computers and go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Go ahead and tell them to dial that number, or just tell them to click on the picture or the link wherever you see the post for this particular show, and you can just listen from your computer, okay? So let them know that, too. I don't think a lot of people know that. You might see our post on Facebook, Instagram, Alignable, or Twitter. If you do, just either click on the picture or the link, and you can listen to the show from your computer or just dial in. Okay, we're also on HSBN.TV. Our show is called The Message of Life. You can watch, you can catch us on YouTube, also Facebook Live, and you can also find The Message of Life on other social media, TV apps and platforms all throughout the week, like to name a few, On Demand, Roku, iHeartRadio, and many, many more. Just type in The Message of Life with T. Meyer and Tasila McCain. And also, we'd like to invite you to come and worship with us. You can come this Sunday if you like. We are church.
We're Church of Jesus Christ. We're going to have a good time.
Yes. Yes, we're going to have
one
a really good time on Sunday.
One of my favorite holidays.
Yes, it is. This your favorite holiday? We're Church of Jesus Christ Ministry. We're located at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Now, let me repeat that. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. And our services start at 1:30 in the afternoon. 1:30 p.m. So you can sleep in a little bit on Sunday. Okay, come and visit us if you're in the California, if you're in California, and if you're in our area, just stop by. Okay, and worship with us this Sunday. We're going to have a great time. Okay, and the Spirit of the Lord is always there. All right. Am I missing anything with our regular stuff here? Let's see. What else are we talking about? Oh. Just a reminder that our book is still available on Amazon. All right. Who is God? That's the name of it. Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. So get to know the God of the Bible. Get to know the God that you serve, the God that you worship. Who is God? Unveiling the Mystery. A very, very good book that would really enlighten you. So I encourage all of you to go ahead. It's available right now on Amazon. So go ahead and order that as soon as you can for yourself and for your friends. Is there anything else that we need to any more announcements, Pastor Tasila? Anything else?
Not that I could think of, except just come and visit.
Okay.
If you...
Yeah, come and visit us this Sunday, and I gave you all the information. Hope you wrote it down. Anyway, just don't go away. We'll be right back. When we come back, we'll be back with our special guest. So hang in there, okay? Stay right there. Don't go away.
You in your car, you at the house, on your job, be encouraged, boo. Come on. A long way. That's why we love you. Come on.
All right. Woo, looka here. Welcome, everybody. For those who just tuned in, you're listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila. So we just want to welcome you. And wait a minute. What's this? Wait, do you hear that? You guys hear that?
I can.
You know what that means? That's right. It's that time. It's the TNT segment where we introduce our special guest. And ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce our special guest who just happened to be Apostle Eddie Maestas. Maestas. Apostle Eddie Maestas. Yeah. And pronounce it for me, Apostle, so that I know that I'm saying it correctly or if I'm saying it wrong.
It's Maestas.
Maestas. Okay,
Maestas.
There it is.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell the people a little bit about you, okay? I'm going to tell everybody a little bit about Apostle Eddie. He is the founder of Love and Unity Movement, Building Relationships with Fivefold Ministry Gifts. Apostle Eddie is also the apostle of Kingdom Family Network, and he is also the author of his new book, Praying for Our Children. Praying for Our Children. And it's available right now on Amazon, you know, and we would also, we want him to talk about the book tonight and also talk a little bit more because he's got such a revelation about the sons of God. And we see if we can pull that out of him also tonight. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Apostle Eddie Maestas.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Appreciate being on.
Hi, Pastor. How are you?
Hi. God bless you guys. I'm good.
You
good.
Too.
Thank you for inviting me on today.
Well,
it's our pleasure, believe me. Yes. Yes, indeed.
It's an honor to be with you.
Some people still remember when you were here one other time, and they asked about you also.
Oh, great. Yeah. That's wonderful. We had a good time last time.
That's
yes,
true.
We did.
We're going to have one today.
We had a great time. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So, Apostle, you know, let's tell us your story. We want to get into the book. We want to get into your revelation that God has always given you revelations. I've been reading a lot of your posts on Facebook, and it's let us what inspired that? What inspired you to write this book?
Well, there's several things that caused me to write that book. One is I've always wanted to share how I came to the Lord, and that's because I had a praying mom who knew how to pray for me, and was her prayers that brought me into the kingdom of God. And then I went through a very difficult time with one of my children that I needed a miracle to take place in his life. He was looking to do 25 to life in prison for something he didn't do.
Yeah.
And I had to begin to really seek the Lord because it just completely turned my life around when one of your kids are going through something like that. And then one day I was praying and God told me, I want you to do 120 days of prayer for the kids, for those parents that are having challenges with their children that are on drugs, that are in jail, that are going through mental issues, anxieties, suicide, and I want you to pray for them for the next 120 days, and each day I'll tell you what to pray prophetically over these children. So for 120 days straight on Facebook, I shared a prayer for the moms and dads, a prophetic prayer for their children coming against the influences of darkness against their life. And I did that for 120 days straight. And then God put that in a book form where I was able to now to, of course, put it on Amazon as a Praying for Our Children. And there's 120 prophetic prayers taking authority over our children, so that the enemy would have to let them go, and also that the enemy could not touch them. And these prayers that I prayed are from 44 years of experience of dealing with people and their kids and the battles that parents go through. And God just gave me just prayers that were just came from my heart, that were from the Spirit of God, that I would begin to prophetically pray over our kids. And I can't tell you how many responses I had of people that were listening to the prayers as I was going, and moms and dads calling me crying, saying that they took that prayer, they applied it, and their kids are now in church, their kids are now delivered, their kids are now changed, kids have come home that haven't seen for months or years, and God has restored so many kids through these 120 days of prophetic prayer.
Wow. Wow, and you know, just by you mentioning that, you know, I'm thinking of different people that I know that have children that's going through a lot of heavy, deep things. You know, I don't think there's a family, even my family, you know, I don't think there's a family that don't have somebody, whether it's a nephew, a niece, a son, a daughter, a cousin, or whatever. But there are members, I think, in every family of young kids. Yeah, that's going through a lot of things. Yeah.
It's a painful thing to go through that. It's a painful thing to go through that with your kids. You don't understand the pain until you go through it yourself. And it's probably one of the worst things I ever went through. They were telling my son they were going to give him 25 years to life. And he was only 18 years old, just turned 18, and never experienced any of that kind of life. He was raised in church and was the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people, and they ended up trying to get him and make an example out of him to the city kids in that, at that time, and God did a miracle. They were saying 25 to life. We fought the courts, and the DA wouldn't back down for nothing. They finally ended up saying that we're going to do 16 years. Your kid will do 16 years, and he will get out at that time. Well, I still didn't accept that because I know that they were overblowing the sentencing. The DA just wanted to make an example out of him, and they were trying to take my son down. So all the way up to the court day when they were going to finally sentence my son, I asked the attorney, I want to talk to the judge. Now before this, somebody prophetically spoke to me and said, you're going to go before the judge, and when you go before the judge is going to say, I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I'm gonna help your son. I'm going to give him a chance. Well, guess what? The day that I went to the judge and went and talked to the judge, he gets up there and says, I don't know why I'm going to do this, but I'm going to give your son a chance. And he says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give him what they call a joint suspension for 5 years. But if he gets in any trouble in those 5 years, he would have to do the whole 16 years. So they gave him 1 year county jail. They gave him a 5-year joint suspension, and they said if he does the whole 5 years and doesn't get in trouble, then we'll drop the whole 16 years, and he'll be able to sponge everything so it won't show on his record. So 5 years. Now, my son was a mess at this time, and he was just a nervous wreck. Doing a year in the county jail, they put him in maximum security. A bunch of professional criminals, older individuals. And my son has never been away from his family, let alone in jail. They put him in there, and I prayed, God, you could protect them even when I can't protect them. So when he went to jail, there was somebody in there that came to a rally that I did several years ago, and I blessed their family with toys and bikes and different things. It was at Christmas time. I blessed their family. So when my son went in there, this guy came up to Noah and says, are you Pastor Eddie's son? And he said, yes. And he goes, all right. He goes, I'm going to make sure you're going to be okay while you're in here. So God raised up people even in jail to take care of my son that year he was in there. My son gets out after a year, but he's angry. He's mad because he felt that he was mistreated, and he was. They gave him way over what anybody else ever got for what they were trying to get him for. And the police department and the DA were all ganged up against him. So the judge gave him 5 years. Well, guess what? The 5 years ended, and the judge said, I'm going to do this, but I've been a judge for 30 years, and everybody I've given a joint suspension never made it. They all ended up in prison. But I'm going to give your son a chance, and if he sticks the whole 5 years, then he'll be free from prison. Well, guess what? I prayed my son through that whole 5 years, and he did not go to prison, and the joint suspension fell off, and everything sponged, and he will never have to do those 16 years in prison. But it was an everyday prayer. I mean, it was battle one day at a time, praying in my prayer closet, covering my son with the blood of Jesus, releasing the angels, taking authority, praying in the spirit that God would protect him through this season and through this time so that he would never do this time. And God, in his wonderful grace and mercy, he did it, and he brought him through the whole time. And the judge could not believe it. He says it has never happened in his whole 30 years of being a judge. So only God could have done something like that, and only God could have prevented everything that could have happened in a worse place. And that's what began to speak to me. God began to tell me, tell parents, don't wait for something bad to happen to your kids. Cover them every day now in the blood of Jesus. Yeah. Cover them every day now with prayer. Speak the word of God over their life. Take authority over the things that the enemy is trying to do to seduce and influence our children with all this perversion and immorality and drugs and violence that is going on in our community today. It's only prayer that's going to prevent these things from our children. And even if our children are in it, God can deliver them and set them free.
Yes.
That's right.
Amen. Wow. That is so true. Yeah. Amen.
Look at all those things that are set up against them already, like the mental illness and drug addictions and immorality, anxiety, and violence, and all that that's out there.
Yeah, there's so many things they go through. Yep, they go through so much, our kids. And, of course, with the system that's in place now with our schools and what they're trying to teach them and the influences that are going on today, I'm telling you, parents got to be on their toes and make sure that their prayer life over their children is consistent. I would be praying without ceasing over our children every single day and our grandchildren, because we got to declare no weapon formed against them is going to prosper.
That's right. Amen. Really bad. They are up against a lot.
Amen.
Not like we weren't, but, you know, I just feel like there's some more demons been unleashed on earth right now. And especially the systems of this world have become extremely demonic, you know, as far as trying to make the kids be a certain way, you know, and accepting all the ways that are of not of God. They promote the ways that are not of God.
While the enemy wants to kill the next generation. And we got to stop this next generation is going to be a powerful generation. they will be the sons
yes.
of God that will manifest the glory of
That's
God on the earth.
That's what I was going to say. Instead of looking for one, he's looking for a whole army. He's trying to kill off
yeah.
the army of the Lord. And
yeah.
when Herod used to look for Jesus, that one child, now it's looking for an army of those that belong to the Lord. Because he knows his time is short and they're going to destroy the works of the enemy. But to manifest
yeah.
the sons of God, God put them in place before this time even got here, before the world even was in existence. We were with him, and he's bringing them to light in this hour.
I call it the third son. Adam was the first son. He failed. Jesus was the second son, the second Adam, and he was
mm-hmm.
the first son among many. And now we are the third sons that represent the corporate son of God in the earth, except for thousands and thousands of us. And the enemy is trying to take the third son because the third son is the one that God's going to use to deliver this earth from its corruption.
Yep, and the usher
mm-hmm.
in the kingdom.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's right.
Isn't that something?
Wow.
But a lot of people are trying to figure out what's going on.
Yeah, you can see
yeah.
the things of the enemy very clearly. And now the Lord wants to show us by revelation and in the spirit what he's doing, because he's just as busy as the enemy is. And the only thing about it is that a lot of times we're more focused on the things of the world than we are the things in the spirit. Because if we see the things in the spirit, then we see exactly what God is doing, even how he's molding and shaping us for his mm-hmm. ultimate plan of the ages, you know. And
yeah.
it's a beautiful, deep thing. Now, how long have the Lord been dealing with you about the sons of God?
Oh, I've been teaching on the sons of God for probably 20 years. I started learning about fathers and sons, how God would turn the hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the father. What people don't know is that from the very beginning of time, God wanted family in Genesis.
Mm. Yeah.
So Father God put a son in the earth, and out of that son he took woman. But it was the son and the father relationship that he wanted as family, because in God's eyes, there's neither male or female. They're all sons of God. So
mm-hmm.
God
Absolutely.
Took that because he was creating sonship in the earth to have rule and dominion over all the earth. And when Adam fell, we lost our identity. And what Christ did
mm-hmm.
is restore our identity as sons. So we're no longer orphans or no longer illegitimate children. For Jesus Christ not only made it so we could go to heaven, but he made it that we would get our identity back and step back into the whole purpose of God from the very beginning, which is to be the sons of God in the earth today. And the reason why God wants us to be sons of God in the earth today, because it is the sons of God who represent the Father's heart. So that's why the enemy has done so much to cripple the fathering. There's been no fathering, spiritual fathering in the church. We've been more focused on building members and building attendance instead of fathering the people
mm-hmm.
that God brings into the church. And the fathers,
mm-hmm.
the natural fathers, have been running off on drugs and alcohol and women and leaving their children unattended. So the enemy has done everything he could is to separate the father's heart by causing the fathers of the earth, the spiritual fathers and the natural fathers, to not live up to their responsibilities as fathers. And because of that, the children have gone crazy and gone wild because they're fatherless. They operate with an orphan spirit. They don't respect. They don't honor. They don't believe what we believe because they saw bad examples and testimonies of spiritual leaders. So the enemy came in and began to cause a great division between one generation to the next generation. And that next generation said they weren't going to serve God. They weren't going to believe in God because they never saw the heart of the Father in those that God raised up to help raise up his sons in the earth. But God is now restoring the father and son's relationship. God once again in the church is teaching the church the importance of fathering and mothering and being a daughter and being a son so we can begin to build what God wants to build in the earth. And that is the original intent of God, is to have his family that will represent his image and his likeness. But it's only going to happen when the hearts of the fathers are turned towards the sons and the sons are turned towards the father.
That's true.
Oh, on
that is
that,
so
no,
good.
I'll just, I want to read this little thing right here, because a lot of times when we're saying stuff, people are like, well, where is all that at? And what are you talking about? I just want to read this little part in 1 John 3, chapter 3, and it's very powerful, and it kind of hooks up into what Pastor Eddie is saying, and it says, look with wonder at the depths of the Father's marvelous love that he has lavished on us. He has called us and made us his very own beloved children. The reason the world doesn't recognize who we are is that they didn't recognize him. Beloved, we are God's children right now. However, it is not yet apparent what we will become. But we do know that when it is finally made visible, we will be just like him. For we will see him as he truly is. And all who focus on that hope on him will always be purifying themselves just as Jesus is pure. Or allowing the Holy Spirit to do his work in you. You know, sometimes the Lord is telling us to move over here, do this, don't do that, and let go of this and stop that. And sometimes we want to do things our own way, but the sons of God only do what the Father is doing. And they hear the Father and they follow him, as, you know, and do exactly what he's doing. So this ministry is a Spirit-led ministry, because it says they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. It's not a do as you please and I'm my own boss and I'm running the show and it's my ministry. All of this is Jesus is the head. We are the living stones that, and he's building and a house and to present to the Father, and we're part of it. And I just love that. So, the Lord has dealt so many aspects of the manifestations of the sons of God that will be revealed in the end times. He started dealing with us about it in probably about 40 years ago, maybe even longer than that. But what it is anybody can be involved if they submit themselves wholly to the Lord and allow him to do his work in them, you know.
Yeah. That scripture you read, that it's the sons of God that are led by the Spirit of God, that word son there is a word in the Greek is weos, which is a fully matured son. It's mature sons that are led by the Spirit of God. There's different levels of children and sonship in the Bible, where the Bible talks about children, and then you have children. There's actually 6 to 7 different levels of developing and maturing into the full mature sons of God. And I think a lot of people think, well, I could be led by the Spirit because I'm a son. I say, yeah, but you're not a mature son. So what you think sometimes is the Spirit is just your flesh. Sometimes what you think is the Spirit is just bad pizza you ate last night. So God puts people into your life, fathers and mothers and mentors, teachers and instructors, to help verify that, to make sure that you're listening to the voice of the Spirit and not listening to a wrong spirit until you become a full age and maturity through experience and through teaching and through developing, so you can make sure that you're truly living by the Holy Spirit and not just living by your flesh. And that's why God gives us apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to equip us for the work of the ministry, how to operate as a mature son, how to walk in the unity of the faith, how to come into the full measure and the full stature of Christ. But we do that through fathers that God gives us in the earth that help raise us so that we become truly sons that are led by the Spirit and not led by the flesh.
That's true. That I have a scripture for everything, but in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about that too, about being a child and growing into full maturity in the Lord. I want to read a little bit about it, but it says that we have become his poetry. We are recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned and advanced our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. And, you know, a lot of times we talk about what's going to follow, what's coming, the anointing, the power of God, the good works of God that's going to come on the earth. And a lot of Christians don't even have a lot of anticipation for that, but it's something that God is going to do. He's going to pour out his Spirit in larger measures and more. Like in the beginning of Acts, the apostles had the anointing, and then I think around in Acts 4, they were hit again and again. And that is what Christians need to know, that it's not a one and done. The Lord wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit to the brim, and he wants us to do greater works. He doesn't want us to be just filled so that we can build bigger of everything, more of all the same thing. He wants us to be able to destroy the works of the devil. I feel that the works of the devil, everybody, is so prevalent right now because the power of God is not being seen in the earth. And it, the people are growing and they're coming into a maturity as far as sonship is concerned, so that they can, God can trust them with this anointing that he's about to release on the earth. This is not going to be just given, even though God is going to pour his Spirit out on all flesh, but there are going to be some people that God is going to trust to have his mind, his heart, his Spirit, and operate in a certain way, a levels, what they call like an Elijah anointing or like an Enoch anointing. You know how Enoch pleased God and he was not, he was able to go into the heavens and sit with the Lord and speak with him and then come back down and operate in this realm at the same time, until one day he was not. He was just taken. Because God wants to operate inside of each and every of the manifested sons of God in a way, is more than just, it is maturity, it's definitely 100% maturity, but then it's the manifestation of Jesus through the bodies. God wants to manifest himself. He wants to use our hands, our mouth, our feet. Why do I say that? Because God showed me that. He showed me him using us in a full way, with him in front, him walking in us, through us, and doing the greater works from coming from us. But every work that was being done, it was actually him doing it. I was just standing there watching as he explained to me how he did it. But I know that this is going to come on the human race, the manifestation of Jesus Christ in the fullness, the greater works, because we haven't seen them. We haven't seen the dead being raised and blind eyes open and created food. We just got to be realistic about that. The church hasn't seen that. They're not operating in that. And that is when the fullness of maturity of the manifestation of a real Son of God, when you see him, is going to come. And Pastor T kind of understands what I'm talking about. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people do, but I know.
Well, you know, what I've learned is when the Lord calls us his sons, that means that we're just as much sons of God as Jesus is the Son of God. We have that kind of favor, that anointing, that blessing upon us, just as Jesus had upon him. And that's to be, you know, and that's what's given to his sons. It's the highest office that you could get, the highest position that a person can achieve, a man or a woman, is sonship, being God's sons, his sons, sonship. And, you know, and I like the way you brought it out, Pastor. You said that, you know, when the Lord speaks of the sons of God, he's speaking of male and female. And it's funny that you said that, because in Genesis chapter 5, the Lord called Adam and Eve Adam. He named them Adam. And Adam named Eve Eve. But God called both of them Adam in the beginning, in Genesis. So you're right. You know, with God, there's neither male nor female. You know, and he goes on to say that. So we're in for a really, once we really get into our mature place, being really true sons of God, mature sons of God. Once we get into that place, man, the things that we will be capable of and the things that we will see and do with God working through us is just going to be mind-boggling. Even though we see it ourselves and even though we see that he's working through us, it's still going to blow our minds, you know, because such a great move is coming upon his people. God will not be satisfied until he see his full likeness and image on the earth. He wants to see himself. He wants to look at us and see him in us. And
excuse me, one of the blessings of being a son is that a son has been given an inheritance. And the first inheritance that the father gave his son was the kingdom. He gave him the kingdom, and he is now king of the kingdom. And many people, because they don't understand kingdom, they don't see kingdom, they're only saved, but they're not born again. And there's a difference in being saved and being born again.
That's true.
Because when you're born again is when you begin to see and operate as a son, instead of just wanting to get saved to go to heaven one day. Now we're born again to become inheritors of the kingdom so that we can begin to take rule and dominion in the earth. That's why we are kings and priests. As a priest, we are spiritual sons, but as kings, we take what God gives us spiritually and we affect the natural, we affect the earth. We affect everything around us because the kingdom of God is here to rule. It says the kingdom of our God is what will be the final kingdom, for the kingdoms of this world will bow to the kingdom of our God. And when you get a kingdom revelation and you begin to grow in kingdom understanding of kingdom of God, the Bible says is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you begin to walk in his righteousness, not our righteousness, not a religious righteousness, but his righteousness, he who knew no sin became sin that we might be the righteousness of Christ. Righteousness means that God is going to align us and bring us into order, into the right standing with God to operate from a kingdom place and not from the kingdoms of this world. And the kingdom, the Bible says, is within us. So if the kingdom is within us, then we need to operate from the kingdom that's within us as sons, since it's our inheritance to rule and to reign and take dominion in the earth. because that is our inheritance. So everything that was taken away from us at the garden has been restored by Christ as our king, and now he has made us kings and priests in the earth today. So as priests, we could sit in that heavenly place with Christ Jesus. I tell people, I don't pray from earth to heaven. I pray from heaven to earth because I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places.
Mm-hmm. We are. We are seated with him.
That's really good,
Pastor Eddie. Yeah. Everything is tweaked from up there to here.
Amen.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
If you guys, go ahead, Pastor Jane.
Oh, no, and go finish your train of thought, what you were getting ready to say.
Nothing. I was just
going
to, he was saying we're kings and priests, and I was like, yeah, we are the high priest of God, chosen among the people and appointed to represent God himself. And it's interesting because a lot of times it's all about knowing your identity, the real identity. And I think that that's something that we all have to do more about, introducing that to Christianity of who they really are, that, you know, they are high priest of God and their positions in Christ. You know, it's a secret almost. It's almost like those who dug it out, who have the revelation of who Jesus was, the first high priest, and he made us kings and priests after the order of Melchizedek. And
that's right.
Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of times the people, they don't want to talk about that because they don't understand that after Jesus became first, then he was the first of many brethren. That's why the Lord used that symbolism of Jesus being, you know, Jesus was really, he's the brethren of us, but actually he's God. But he used, God had to use that symbolism to show us that just as Jesus is a son and he's God, that we could be sons also. And that he was the first of many brethren. He died first, and he was a high priest first, and we're going to be high priests, kings and priests, just in the same order after the order of Melchizedek, just like he was. And it's just really interesting because a lot of times we don't understand what God, how solid this whole system that God has put together with Christ dying. We got to go past the being a baby about it and, you know, getting saved and that's all because we want to be saved. And like you said, there's different classes of Christians. And some Christians want to go all the way, and some Christians are lovers of God. How about that? They love God. They want to be around him. They want to spend eternity with him. They don't want to just, I just want to make it in, you know, and be in. Everybody wants
to be
in
his presence.
We all do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
yeah.
Some people want to be in his presence. And when I first became a Christian, being in God's presence was not easy. That's something that you have to start doing right now. You know, you got to make sure you get in his presence every day. But I know when I first became a Christian, though we might be talking to some people that are struggling, that it's hard for them to get in God's presence. But you have to. It's a must. You must find and seek him. He said, I am found of those, and when you seek for me and when you search for me, you will find me. And you have to seek his face every day. And that's all, you know, make sure you get in your secret place and seek his face because the Lord wants that. He wants that one-on-one time every day with you. Don't just neglect that and say, I'm a Christian now, I made it in, I'm covered by the blood. I don't like it when Christians try to show you how many scriptures that shows that no matter what, they have a way in, you know, because you're just trying to, make stuff up about how you don't, even if you sin, if no matter what you do, you're still in. I had somebody, a guy that was in deep adultery with his 30-year marriage, and he told me, I bet you I make it in. And I said, I don't know that. You might. It is up to God, you know, because it's his kingdom. But I don't like it when people try to be on the edge. Get all the way in. Go on, have a personal relationship. And that's who I think the manifested sons of God are too, those that love the Lord with all their heart.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And, you know, you had mentioned the Melchizedek priesthood. Pastor Eddie, have the Lord dealt with you about the Melchizedek priesthood?
Yeah, because many people are still living after the Levitical priesthood instead of living after the Melchizedek priesthood. Melchizedek priesthood, there's no longer an offer of sacrifices for the sins of the people. Jesus became the final sacrifice through him and through his blood that we don't have to make sacrifice no more like the Levitical priesthood. We don't even have to do all the feasts and all the ceremonies, and we don't even have to be Jew. We could be Gentiles. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus became a Savior to all the world, and he is after the order of Melchizedek, and Melchizedek is a representation of who Christ was. Never had a father, but yet he was born into the earth without sin and still remains sin. So he's our high priest, and we follow after his order. As he is, so are we in this world. Now we are the priests, the spiritual ones, the intercessors, the ones who intercede on behalf of the world for God to bring them to a place of repentance. But we are also kings that invade the earth with the gospel of the kingdom. So we can begin to see his kingdom rule and reign from region to region, from territory to territory. And that's because of who we are in Christ Jesus. It's because of our sonship. It's because of our inheritance. It's because of what Jesus did for us. We can't earn it. We didn't do it.
Mm-mm.
We didn't provide this. It all came through our high priest, Christ himself. And through our high priest, we have now become many priests in the earth to represent our Lord, our Father, and to represent the Holy Spirit as he ministers through us to bring salvation, deliverance, and even maturity to the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I like that. That, you know, and so many Christians don't even understand the Melchizedek priesthood. It's the only priesthood that we are, the only priesthood that you are a son, you're a king, and a priest, you know.
Yeah,
just like Christ. We are after the order of Melchizedek, which is after the order of the Son of God, which is after the order of God himself. It is a very, very never-ending high priesthood. There's no ending. Once we step into this priesthood, fully step into it, then there's no ending to it. We are priests forever. When we get into
that's
it.
Right.
And many Christians have to really understand that. You know, just like in the book of Job, if there's a messenger among you, one among a thousand, to show man his uprightness, we have to be shown our uprightness, who we really are in Christ. And many of us call on the name of Jesus. Many of us call ourselves Christians, but we don't know our uprightness. We don't know how great God is about to make us, how great we are now, and how great we're going to become. Because just like God ever expands in greatness, so will he have us to ever expand in greatness.
So we've got to look as Christians as to constantly expand, move forward, not move backwards. We're constantly moving forward more and more into the kingdom of the living God. It is so deep, and I'm praying that everyone on the line here and that's listening from your computers, that you're able to kind of understand what we're talking about today. We're talking about sonship and also about what Apostle Eddie was talking about, praying for our kids. Apostle Eddie, could you maybe pray for some of our listeners tonight?
Sure, I'd be more than glad to. Father, we just praise you and thank you, first of all, for your goodness, for your graciousness and mercy. We would not be where we're at today if it wasn't for your mercy and grace upon our own life. And God, just as you have brought us through, us as parents, as adults, Father, is the same way you'll bring our kids through, Father. You were there for us. You spoke to us. You convicted our heart. You brought us unto this salvation that we're now experiencing, and you even brought us into your kingdom, God. And Father, the same way you've done that for us, we believe you're going to do it for our sons and daughters. And right now, I come in agreement with every parent that's listening. I come in agreement for their children that they will not remain lost. They will not remain backslidden. They will not stay in drugs. They will not stay in alcohol. They will not stay in perversion or homosexuality. I call them out of darkness. I call them into the kingdom of God. I break every chain. I break every stronghold. I break every lie and deception of the enemy over their souls. And I break the powers of darkness. You have no authority over our sons and daughters. For me and my household shall be saved. Our sons, our daughters, our grandchildren, we plead the blood of Jesus over them, and we declare no weapon formed against them will prosper. And we pray for the parents, Father, that they won't be depressed or saddened because of what they see in their children, but you'll make the parents strong in the Lord and the power of your might, that you will give them faith, Father, to see their children saved and delivered and transformed by the power of God. Father, we take authority right now, and we call our children home that are not home, God. Those that are bound, God, we declare they shall be set free. And they, Father, you created them before they were even in their mother's womb. You knew them, and you had a plan and a destiny for each and every one of them. And I call them into their destiny. I call them into their purpose of the kingdom. I call them into the house of God. And I declare right now, Father, that our household shall be saved. Every son, every daughter, every grandchild, in the name of Jesus, they will fulfill their destiny and purpose in you, God. They will not die early. They will not overdose in drugs. They will not go to prison for life. They will not experience the evil of this world, God. But you will put a hedge of protection around them, and you will guide them and direct them. You will even send people to them to lead them. You will send angels to them to protect them and guide them and watch over them, God. And you will lead them, Father, to the path of righteousness. And I just declare even now, no weapon formed against our kids is going to prosper. We declare our children are saved, sanctified, blessed, sons of God, delivered. In Jesus' mighty name I declare, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah.
Ooh. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And that was
glory
it.
To the King.
Our time has run out, and we ran out on a good prayer. Praise the Lord. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to us. Apostle, we can't thank you enough for another anointed program. Praise the Lord.
And good
thank
to
you
hear
so
your
much.
Voice
Amen.
Again, Apostle Eddie.
Good to
God
hear
you. Bless you.
God bless you guys. I love you guys.
All righty.
Love
you too. And we'll see you all again next week. God bless. Bye-bye.